friends of ours. And I miss my wife being with us today, but the last 3 years have not been the best for her health-wise. And pray for her. I would really appreciate that. And some of you do, but she got bit by a brown recluse spider 16 months ago. And that wound has still not healed. And there's other complications that she has. But I just love her, and we've got this deal going. She's not allowed to go before I go. And I'm not really wanting to go that quick, so we're trying to work out this situation here. And of course, God has it all in control. Amen. It's a joy to see all of you here today. Certainly good to see the Portmans. Amen. Love them. Good people. Amen. And their family. And I was really pleasantly pleased when your pastor called me and asked if we could come today. And, you know, for the last 35 years, I've been telling my son what to do. I should say, except for 2 years, 3 years ago. And now he tells me what to do. And I have to ask for his permission to leave services. And it's kind of different. But I want you to know something. I am in obedience. I've been teaching that for years. I guess I better live it, huh? Somebody should say amen or woe is me or something. But again, it is really a pleasure. Well, I don't know about you, but this has been an interesting year, to say the least. And I'd like for you to turn in your scriptures today to a very, very old writing. Matter of fact, I don't know if you understand this or not, but the book of Job is the oldest book of the Bible. Say, oh, Brother Putnam, Genesis is. No, Genesis was translated as God gave Moses, but Job had already written this portion prior to that. Job chapter 1. Now I'm going to be reading out of the New Living Translation, so if you're out of the King James, bless your heart. But I'm going to be reading out of the New Living Translation. It says in verse 1, "There once was a man named Job who lived in the land of Uz. He was blameless, a man of complete integrity. He feared God, and he stayed away from evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 teams of oxen, and 500 female donkeys. And he employed many servants. He was, in fact, the richest person in that entire area." Now, from verse 3 to verse 14, there's a dialogue that is taking place between God and man's enemy, Satan. And their topic is Job. And Satan is making the accusation to God that if you just take away your blessings from him, that he will curse you to your face. God permits Satan to test Job, but not to take his life. So the ultimate true test of Job's character and real integrity begins, and 11 verses later from where we just stopped, verse 14 says, a messenger arrived at Job's home with this news. Your oxen were plowing with the donkeys feeding beside them. When the Sabaeans raided us, they stole all the animals and killed all the farmhands. I am the only one who escaped to tell you. And while he was still speaking, another messenger arrived with this news. The fire of God has fallen from heaven and burned up your sheep and all the shepherds. And I am the only one who escaped to tell you. And while he's still speaking, a third messenger arrived with this news. Three bands of Chaldean raiders have stolen your camels and killed your servants. And I am the only one escaped to tell you. And by this time, I'm sure Job is thinking, well, I wish you wouldn't have been there either. But while he was still speaking, another messenger arrived with this news. Your sons and your daughters were feasting in their oldest brother's home. Suddenly, a powerful wind swept in from the wilderness and hit the house on all sides. The house collapsed, and all your children are dead. And I am the only one escaped to tell you. Church, you talk about having a bad day. For Job, this was a day of devastation. Not knowing or understanding that this was but a test devised by the enemy of his soul. I just wonder, before you all sit down today, have any of you ever had a why me moment in your life? Can I see a hand? Why me? I believe if we're honest, every one of us has said those words, and probably more than once. Why me? Why me when the doctor's diagnosis was not what you had hoped for or expected? Why me when someone has hurt you deeply or failed you miserably? Why me when the layoffs are announced and you receive one of the notices? Why me when what you expected to be a blessing somehow became a curse? Why me? And the list can go on and on. Yes, this is the message this morning. Why me? Would you close your eyes and raise your hands? And Brother Portman, I'm going to ask you again, if you'll pray real loud here, amen, that God would touch each and every one in this building today. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And everybody said, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I would say that the patriarch Job, on the day that we just read about in this particular text, when he was told that all of his oxen and asses were stolen and that his servants were slain, and when he was told that the fire fell from the sky and consumed all of his sheep and their shepherds, and that all of his camels were stolen and their keepers were killed, and then came the worst, the dagger, if you please, amen, when he was told about his own children. Killed as a mighty wind swept through the house where they were in, and the structure fell upon them all. I believe if anyone could have lifted up their hands to heaven that day, at that moment, Job would have said, "Why me?" Especially when God himself said concerning him in chapter 2 of Job in verse 3 that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. I ask you this morning, because most of you raised your hands that you've had one of those why me moments. What was your circumstance when you threw up your hands and said, "Why me?" And then perhaps out of your own mouth came out these words, "What have I done to deserve this?" How many have said that? Brothers and sisters, so many times our why me moments are spoken during our lowest hour, during our most difficult of times. There are moments that are associated, these are all moments that are associated with the negativities of life. And perhaps some of you during these last 10 months of COVID-19 have uttered these two words. As life has seemingly been uncertain to you and your family. For in our lifetime, we have never experienced anything like this. Can I get a witness? But church, the Bible is full of situations where God's people have faced hardships and disappointments that they had to endure. In the Old Testament, we read about the prophet Jonah. We all know the story of Jonah, taught in Sunday schools. Jonah 1 and verse 1 says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." I am sure, knowing the history of Jonah, I am sure that when God spoke this to Jonah, that he immediately stated, or at least thought, "Why me? God, why me?" I say that because of the obvious actions that he took. For Jonah did the exact opposite of what the Lord had just told him to do. Why would he run? Why would he jeopardize innocent sailors on board a ship? Why would he be so adamant about his rebellious direction that it would cause him to be thrown overboard? Well, it's in biblical history that Jonah's immediate family had been killed by the people of Nineveh. And now the very ones that had caused him great grief, Jonah was now told by God, no less, to go and warn them of imminent destruction. More than likely, church, that would have been Jonah's reason for why me. Why should they be spared when they had no mercy on my own? Folks, I want us all to understand and realize that in his rebellious act, Jonah could have drowned in the belly of that great fish. He could have suffocated and died, but he didn't. No, he lived to record it. He lived to write about God's mercy. Because in Job 2 and 6 it says, "I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came in unto thee and into thy holy temple." Church, during this fate with destruction, Jonah remembered the Lord. Church, if there was ever a time for us to put our focus on our Lord Jesus Christ, amen, it is right now. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Get your eyes off of the circumstances. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Somebody say amen. Jonah even wrote, he said, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Sure, you and I can believe the lies that our enemy may flood our thoughts with. We can take matters into our own hands without any regards to the consequences of our actions. We can believe the lies and be damned, or we can remember the Lord. And Jonah said, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed, because salvation is of the Lord. Church, I want to be very clear this morning. I'm telling you, I believe that Jesus Christ is coming soon. People have asked me more than a few times, Brother Putnam, what do you feel of what's going on? Do you really think this is a judgment of God? Now, I don't know what your pastor has told you, and whatever he's told you, believe him. But personally, I know that this is a judgment of God. Well, how do you know that? Because I'm telling you, God is not mocked. And whatsoever a man, whatsoever a country, whatsoever a state, whatsoever people, amen, sow, that's what they're going to reap. And we don't dare flaunt sin and then justify sin and then promote sin and think that we're just going to get away with it. Yeah, but there's righteous people dying. That's right, because the rain falls on the just and the unjust. None of us are absolved from getting COVID-19. None of us. That's why you're all wearing masks. That's why we're, well, I guess I read the sign after I bumped several people's elbows. I was in disobedience. But that's why we're doing all this. But I'm telling you, church, we can raise our hands and say, why me? Or we can understand that Jesus Christ is coming again. He has it all in control. We need to remember the Lord. We need to remember the Lord and to sacrifice unto him a voice of thanksgiving. Would you stand to your feet and thank him right now for all of his goodness and his grace and his mercies to every one of us? Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Church, instead of focusing on the negative, Jonah began to praise and began to offer thanksgiving. And when he submitted his will, when he submitted his will for God's will, then, verse 10 says, the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon dry land. Church, I don't understand this. I don't stand here this morning and proclaim that I understand all of what is and will and has happened or is happening across our country. But I do know this, that Almighty God stated through his prophet Isaiah, Isaiah 55 and verse 8, many of you could probably quote it, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Aren't you glad that God sent his word to your heart, into your life, and he is prospering that word in and through you? Brothers and sisters, why me is not always about the negative. Though God's way didn't make sense to Jonah, yet as he humbled himself and did what God asked of him, and through Jonah's submission, everybody say submission, God literally spared a city of thousands from destruction. Church, do you remember during the time of persecutions of the early church in Jerusalem? When this religious Pharisee named Saul, anybody remember Saul, what we call the Apostle Paul, was seeking out all that professed Jesus Christ as their Messiah. How do you think Ananias of Damascus must have felt while praying to Jesus and the Lord spoke to him and said, Ananias, he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. At that very moment, I am sure it came across Ananias' mind in whatever language he was speaking in, why me, Lord? Because Ananias answered in verse 13, he said, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord informed Ananias that he was going to use Saul of Tarsus, even though he had persecuted believers, even though he had beaten them and watched as others were tortured and killed. I am sure in Ananias' mind he was thinking, how could Jesus use such a one as this? How could he possibly be saved? But Ananias, listen, church, obeyed. And he went and he prayed for Saul. And Saul regained his sight and was baptized and was filled with the Holy Ghost. And he became a mighty apostle of Jesus Christ, who was anointed by God's Spirit and who wrote 28% of the New Testament of our Bibles. Listen, church. For all of us that have allowed these words of why me to slip through our own lips in a negative way, shouldn't we just take a pause, a time out, and look in the mirror of God's word right this moment? Brothers and sisters, we need to revisit and realize the turn of events in our own lives that has happened since our first encounter with Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, have you ever considered that after all of what you and I have done in our lifetime, the sins that you and I have committed, the literal filth of our own lives prior to receiving Jesus Christ, shouldn't all of us be asking the Lord, why me? Hello? Why would he choose you and I to be saved? We already sang about it. We didn't earn this. We don't deserve this. Why me? Why would he allow us to be a part of his body, the church? What did we ever do to deserve this? That was the Apostle Paul's response. As he wrote to the Corinthians in 15 and 9, 1 Corinthians, he said, "For I am the least of the apostles that am not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God." But here's the answer, church, in verse 10. Amen. It says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am." I'm telling you, church, you're not sitting here because you're so Sister Good Shoes or Brother Goody. No, my friend, you're here by the grace of God that spoke to each and every one of us. Brothers and sisters, look at where you are today. The answer is simple. We don't deserve Jesus Christ. His grace in our lives is the gift of God. Look how far you and I have come by His tender mercies and grace in our lives. Did you deserve this? Are you kidding me? Unfortunately, I have met some people, saints of God, that think that they are absolutely better than anybody else. They'll run past a sinner that was just like them years past and say, "But oh, I'm better now." My friend, except for the grace of God, there am I and there are you. No, all along is what He has done. Jesus Himself said to His own disciples in John 15 and 16, He said, "You've not chosen me." He said, "But I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another." Brothers and sisters, we didn't choose Him. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He chose us. No, you and I never deserved His mercy. We never deserved His goodness and grace. And that is why we can all lift up our hands and say, "Why me, Lord?" I was playing golf a week ago Thursday with our former sheriff of our county. We were riding in the cart together. His name is Mike Helmke. He's been retired now a couple years. And we were going down a hole this way, and some other golfers that we had just finished on the hole beside us was coming this way. And we weren't really out of earshot of the golf ball yet. And this guy hit the ball, and you could see it was starting to curve our way. And I just couldn't, forgive me, folks, I couldn't resist. He didn't see me reach my hand up on top of the cart, and I went, bam! And he went, and I looked at him, and I just had this great big smile on my face. He said, "Bishop, it's amazing. He's not apostolic, but he calls me Bishop." He said, "Bishop, that wasn't very nice." I said, "Mike, if you'd have known me before Jesus Christ found me, you would not like me at all. And none of you would like me either, because it's not my own self-redemption program, and it's not your self-redemption program. It's not a 12-step program. No, this is a life forever program that God indeed came into me. It is Christ in us, the hope of glory, that has changed us and made us and makes us and molds us to become what He wants us to become." Why? Why me? Brothers and sisters, we're a part of the very body of Jesus Christ. We're not born again just to attend or listen to a couple of messages a week. No, He saved each and every one of us for a distinct purpose. Now, don't get quiet on me now. You and I are to go and to make disciples. Huh? You wonder, why me, Lord? Here's why. We are to be witnesses. We are to tell our story, our testimony about his story, expressing to others about the glory of Jesus Christ when they themselves might be steeped in their negative why me moments. How many of you got saved during a why me moment, negative why me moment in your life? You didn't know which way to go. You didn't know which way to turn. You didn't know what decision to make. And all along, God was wooing you through circumstance and so forth to the point that you finally opened up that little sliver and said, I think that I want to do the truth. I think, oh, my friend, he doesn't think it anymore. He knows that he wants to do the truth. And how many of you can give a witness by standing up and shouting to the top of your voice, Lord, why me? You realize that there are people all around us that are hurting right now? Huh? People are wondering and asking what's going on. Brothers and sisters, you don't know what might happen the next time when you witness to someone. We don't know he or she, what they may be or what they might become in God's kingdom. You certainly didn't know what the Almighty had in store for you, did you? Lord have mercy. You think that I even had a thought as wicked as I was that I would ever have a microphone in my hand and stand up in front of other people and tell them about the goodness and the grace of God? Think about it. Yeah, the past is gone, Brother Portman. Forgetting those things which are behind and pressing on. How many are still pressing? How many are still pressing? How many of you have become perfect yet? All the perfect ones, would you please stand? No, we're still pressing on. We're still pressing on. And that's why we need to be about our master's business. We can't just come to a house of God like this and just worship and love him and cry and say, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do, and then walk out of here and forget all about what we're supposed to do until we come back again and do the same thing all over again. Now you're really getting quiet. We got to be ready. Because we don't know who we're going to be talking to. Huh? We don't know. We don't know some gesture or some thought of going back or making some phone call. Sheboygan Falls, we have a Christmas parade every year. Well, we did have one until this last year. And 2 years ago, and the church just passes out invitations as we go around the parade route. An invitation came in the hands of a man from Malawi who was studying at Lakeland University to become a master teacher in Malawi. He was studying to become a teacher of teachers in his own country. He called up my son, our pastor, and he says, I got this invitation. He said, I would like to come to your church. And he came. He was weeping. He was crying. Make a long story short, God filled him with the Holy Ghost. He was water baptized in Jesus' name. This was in December. He's going to be leaving in June, going back to Malawi to do what he was trained to do here in the United States. Amen. He went through Bible study, and he kept on telling my son, he said, I have to take this back to my people. I have to take this back to my people. I have to take this back to my people. Amen. Praise God, when he went back, amen, a good friend of his that was studying to become a minister in some other denomination, he said, Chelsea, you got to hear this message. Open your Bible. And they began to think, and Chelsea got the Holy Ghost, and Chelsea got baptized by, amen, this brother in Jesus' name. And then all of a sudden they started teaching Bible studies, and bless God, going now 2 years later, they have over 250 people in their church. Amen. And they're building a building. They're making their own bricks. They're drying their own bricks. I'm telling you, you don't know what God's going to use you to do. You just got to find out your why me, that God chose you. You see, you didn't know what you were going to be when you realize your need of his mercy. In church, this hour of uncertainty is not about us. Hello? It's all about his purpose. Thank you, Job, for showing us the way. In the midst of your why me moment, you showed us how to obey. Thank you, Jonah. You obeyed. Thank you, Ananias. You obeyed. Thank you, Saul, who became the Apostle Paul. You obeyed. Lift up your hands, church. Lift up your voices right now. And why don't you just simply ask God, why me, God? Why me, God? Why me, God? Stand with me if you would right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What was it that God spoke to Moses at the burning bush? When God gave him direct instructions on what he was to do. And God spoke to him that he was to deliver God's people from the bondage of Egypt. And what was Moses' response? In so many words, it was, why me? Exodus 3:11 says that Moses said, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Church, do you realize that that meeting at the burning bush between God and Moses was 80 years in the making? From the moment that Moses was born, God had a plan for his life. And can I tell you, yes, you, my friend, there is not one person in the sound of my voice here this morning that doesn't have a divine purpose in God's kingdom. God has been with you ever since you were born. That accident that you were in, that you could have died, that situation that could have happened that would have indeed killed you, my friend, God knew that you had a why me for life and living. I'm telling you, church, God has been with us. He knows your failures. He knows all of your faults. He knows our sins, but he also knew when you and I would repent. And perhaps for you, my friend, because I don't know everybody here today, perhaps for you, my friend, that repentance thing could be for you right now. He knows when you would take upon his name in baptism. And when you would receive him, his spirit, into your life. Sure, he has tried you. And yes, he has helped you. He loves you. And you might be asking right now, well, why me? I'll tell you why. Because he has a plan that only you can fulfill. Can anybody identify what I'm talking about today? I'm speaking to someone who feels that there is no hope. To someone who's hurting deeply in your soul. To someone whose entire future seems to be in jeopardy right now. To someone who is searching. Can I testify to you that my why me moment came at an evening prayer meeting in a home. And just like the lyrics of a song that declares that one night with the King changes everything. One day in his courts did forever change my course. One moment in his presence, and I've never been the same. One night with the King changes everything. Because when he walks into the room, everything changes. It changed for Esther. It changed for Mary. And it also changes for you and I, my friend. I'm telling you, he'll change your negative why me into your positive why me. He will fulfill his will in your life if you will but allow him to. All he is asking is for you to surrender your will and come to him. Let him take the reins of your life, every eye closed and every head bowed, and he will make you a disciple maker, reaching out to others just as he has reached out to you. Come, and he will see you through. I say unto you this very moment, come. Seek him and turn your negative why me into your positive why me moment. Getting the right perspective of how Jesus Christ wants to use you in this COVID-19 hour in helping others. Why don't you start coming right now and begin to thank him and start praising him. And if need be, ask him for forgiveness of your sins and thank him for what he has done and is doing in your life right now. Go on ahead. Go on ahead, church. Cry out to him with thanksgiving. Remember the Lord from where he brought you from to where indeed he is taking you to. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise your name, God. Why me, God? Why me, God? Why me, God? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Masata Bakaya. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory. Lift up holy hands. Lift up holy hands. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lift up holy hands. Hallelujah. God, why me? Why me, God? Why am I standing here in your house? Why have you blessed me so? When I could never repay your goodness. Because he wants to use you. He wants to use you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Holy.